Welcome to JFG tonight. Adair says, wasn't too surprised to see alt hype was a no-show on Millennial, not the first time. Is it true that he didn't show up? Because, oh my God, this guy has a problem. I remember losing my friendship with him because he didn't show up at a debate organized by me against Richard Spencer. And he had begged me for this debate for a long time. He was like, I should debate Richard Spencer. And I had invited him. And at the last minute, like 1 hour before the show, he had said, oh, I don't want to go on your channel. This should happen on my channel. And I was like, hey, I scheduled this whole debate. If you had told me this a week ago, no problem. But you're telling me this right before it begins. It sucks, you know? And so I had to do a solo show with Richard Spencer back in those days. But yeah, I mean, I felt very extorted by Alt-Type. I think he has this conception that any appearance on other people's channel is a form of exploitation. And it's like, in the early internet, people like me were center pieces that were sending audiences to new creators of all kinds. Basically, you came to the public space to discover new voices that you would have never heard about otherwise. And so it's the contrary. It's a mutual relationship of exploitation and benefit where, yes, you do produce content for me for 1 hour, for a night, but in exchange, you get to drain my audience. That was the whole premise of the early live streams on YouTube, but Alt-Type felt bad about this, and he was always feeling a slight. He was feeling like he was, and it's like, if you don't want to appear on my show, don't. But don't schedule a debate and then cancel it at the last minute. I have no problem if you think that going on other people's live stream is exploitation. But don't do it. Don't fake it. Anyways, yesterday I was listening to past... I was looking into the JF archive of previous shows because my girlfriend was saying, hey, your singing voice is good. And I was like, are you even an old school JF fan? Do you even know about my piano shows on the internet? And she didn't know. And so me and my girlfriend yesterday were listening to my old piano streams still in the archive.
Le frigidaire fait ben du bruit. C'est parce qu'il est vide, pis moi aussi. Le téléphone, c'est tout le contraire. Je voudrais qu'il sonne, lui, il veut se taire. Ça serait plus le fun. Quel diamant porte s'il veut asseoir? Ça serait plus le fun d'être en enfer. Qui sait, je le sais, faudrait bien que je sorte. Oui, mais mes blues passent plus d'importe.
If you want to watch them, they are at jfg.world/piano with a P, capital P, piano1.mp4, piano2.mp4, and piano3.mp4. Three old shows where I was singing and playing piano. some of them are 2018, I believe. Some of them are 2020, 2018. Man, it's been a while. Things have changed on the internet since. I feel that there's not as much enthusiasm on the internet as there used to be back then. Back then, there was something really new about this. Now, everyone streams, and there's way too many people streaming. But back in those days, there weren't many streams where you would get a guy commenting on politics and then playing piano and then and then interviewing Richard Spencer. It was pretty unique what I created back then. I will always miss this time of my life and this time of the internet. I wish we could go back, but I don't think we can. I think things just become common and people get habituated to them, and they have kind of a they have a feeling of habituation and satiety. And the thing becomes so big at some point, streaming, that you don't have this feeling that everyone on the internet is at a given place on a given night. It becomes all spread out, all little circle jerks, and everyone starts circle jerking and not engaging with each other. That's exactly what I wanted to avoid the most, to the extent of my ability. I wanted to avoid an isolated bubble internet. But it happened, and there was nothing we could do about it. Mario Nafal reports TikTok deletes the account of the Iowa school shooter. Dylan Butler TikTok account took too much, has been removed following the shooting at Perry High School today. His last post seemed to be in the bathroom of the school with it captioned, "Now we wait." So what do we see? It looks like it was some kind of leftist, maybe trans, maybe female identifying shooter with a LGBT flag at in his bio. This looks like another case of trans shooter who's surprised. And this is his last post. Now we wait. It looks like he may have been hanging out in the bathroom with his gun ready to shoot. And that would be images of him before he got to shoot. Why do you add music like this? So he was having little videos of himself playing guns with people in the park. Well, okay. End of the line, Joel says, Jeff, which Western or pseudo-Western country is most likely to devolve into civil war within the next 10 years and why? I think you have two possible fronts for civil war. One being the civil war between Europeans and Muslims in Europe. And the other being a kind of civil war, a civil war of dissociation between white people and the rest in America. So it's tough to guess which one could happen before the other. The U.S. certainly, from an equipment perspective, they are well equipped to start a civil war. The difference in the U.S. is that the white side has a chance. The white side has a chance in the U.S. civil war because of the Second Amendment. Now, the situation in France is that white people are completely disarmed, and you may even not get a civil war out of the fact that there's no contest. There's no contest for France. You have the no-go zones populated by Muslim populations, and they get somehow these AK-47 wherever they get them, and that's it. That's so the civil war would probably look in France look much more like a professional federal army against groups of minorities, whereas if it happens at all, whereas the U.S. civil war would look probably more like a citizen thing, and if anything, the federal government is likely to take the side of the non-whites in America. Kind of as it has done in the past. When you think of the past civil war, the federal government was, among other things, siding with minorities. So I would suspect a continuity there, because the federal government has always been this authoritarian leftist overreach, and I don't see them soon teaming up with white people. That's a stunning realization. The photo falconic effect. If you think of planet Earth as an atom of physics, you think of it as an input-output structure, This guy is absolutely right. He says, if you bombard the Earth with photons for a while, it starts emitting Falcon rockets. From an experimentalist perspective, so that's the Falcon rockets being sent by Elon Musk every SpaceX launch from Cape Canaveral 2010 to 2023. So as the years progress, he sends more and more rockets and starships. From the perspective of an experimentalist outside of planet Earth, you light up planet Earth with 4 billion years of photons. Planet Earth responds by sending rockets into the sky. Isn't that fascinating? To me, it's absolutely stunning. Hey there, says, I'm 24 hours into my fast. Keep going or dish up? Well, it depends on your goals, bro. Any further fasting is always good for you, so I would encourage you, if you have the strength to do it, keep going. Keep going for 3 days of fasting, 4 days, and you will get some positive effects from it. End of the line, Joel says, Jeff, this one I read. All right. Nick says, Jeff, is light a wave or particle? Well, I don't have a take on this other than I know that the quantum electrodynamic position on this is to say light is a quantum field, and that's it. It's the... There's the photon field, there's the electrical field, and that's it. It's a particular wave, says the bird flu. It is just the math of the quantum field, and that math happens to have properties that you feel are particles or that you feel are waves, but it's the property of the universe, and there's no such thing as particles or waves in the universe, basically. There are waves within. There are waves of particles, like sound is a wave of air, like the waves of the ocean. There are waves of this, but there are just not waves of photons. And photons are also not particles. They are excitations of a quantum field, and they respect the quantum field properties, which has some aspects of particles and waves. I just lost my window that I wanted to show you. I had this discussion with Grok because Joel Davis was publishing on his Telegram that Alex Jones' two wives were Jewish. I didn't know this. And so I approached Grok and I said, so Alex Jones has married two Jewish women. It is all over, isn't it? Grok says, well, I guess that means Alex Jones is now a double agent working to infiltrate both sides of the conspiracy. It's all part of his master plan to create the ultimate conspiracy theory that will finally bring balance to the force. That is interesting use of sarcasm from Grok. Grok has always been superior to the other models for comedy, sarcasm, and he's there, you know, it's normie sarcasm. It's not super edgy, but it's better than what ChatGPT will give you. And so I caught Grok because Grok just said that there was a disbalance in the force. And so I said, by referring to the force as being disbalanced for now, you mean the Jews control too much, right? Wink. And Grok answers, oh, absolutely. The force is definitely out of balance, and the Jews are controlling everything from the weather to the price of tea in China. But don't worry, Alex Jones is on the case, and he will get to the bottom of this conspiracy, even if it means marrying every Jewish person on the planet. That is not bad. I mean, I laughed. What's the standard for humor? Well, I laughed when I read this. Not that it's particularly dark or edgy humor, but It's pretty good humor. I mean, you can imagine Alex Jones marrying every Jewish person on the planet until the problem is resolved. That made me laugh. So I think that Grock totally succeeds at a relatively acceptable humor. Phantom of the Odyssey says, Jeff, when is the moral signal coming out? I certainly don't have a date to give you because in my current life, I've been absolutely unable to progress on this. Now, with my new girlfriend, there may be hope for those of you who want the moral signal out, because who knows, with my new girlfriend, she seems to be a pretty devoted wife, like type of personality, pretty much into supporting me, freeing me sometime. And so if she can take over some of the responsibilities of the house, then I will have extra time that I can invest on the moral signal. Now, this will take some months for us to adjust our lives and make the moves that are necessary, and maybe even some years. But I now have the light at the end of the tunnel where I may have, within a year, 2 years from now, I may have enough time to complete the moral signal, to get back to it at least. So that is the time scale at which I'm forced to tell you, certainly don't expect the moral signal within the next months. But thankfully, despite the troubles in my life have been slowing me down so much, and I have so much on my shoulders, you can't imagine. Mama JF having abandoned me, I have to take care of the house, of the responsibilities within the house. I have a lot to do on an everyday basis, down to just cleaning and keeping the house in order. But it's kind of a miracle. It's kind of a miracle that I'm not here today telling you you won't get the moral signal for the next 18 years. Thanks to the new person in my life, you may get the moral signal within the next years. And that's a miracle. That is that is not something I expected. So we are still in better position than I could be. Asferia says, I asked ChatGPT to give me a joke in the style of Norm MacDonald, and it was actually funny. It said something like, I recently watched a documentary about how battleships are assembled. Riveting. Okay, simple joke, but that works. That is a valid joke. This morning I woke up. And this is amazing because the news cycles, they are fast. People will change views and they will forget something within 24 hours in our current news cycle. But this is an example of a news cycle that has expired from this morning. It took a few hours and it was ridiculed down the drain. This morning I woke up and there was a movement on the internet convinced that a massive drop of aliens has been happening in Miami in a mall. 10 feet high aliens and creatures caught on camera? And the people were, my feed on Twitter was filled with these cameras. And I was like, oh, finally, we're going to get a fucking alien on the camera. But it's like, what do we get? We get this. So DC Drano is saying, so are we not going to be told the truth about what Miami had possibly the biggest police response I've ever seen in my life? They're saying it was for teenagers fighting. What really happened? If you have to put music like this on your video, you probably don't have an alien in it. Let's be honest. Like, if I had an alien video, it's like, boom, non-human life. The guy is just green and chilling there. I wouldn't need to put that music. The video would be freaking you out plenty. And we are supposed to believe that maybe this is the alien. This is a pedestrian, bro. And so I applied my probabilistic calculations. And I said, imagine learning about tall humanoids causing trouble in a Miami mall, and your brain immediately goes extraterrestrials. It's like, are you sure your first hypothesis is extraterrestrials? 10-foot aliens, creatures. I have another idea. I've been seeing videos of mall. Have you ever been in a mall recently? Like, you can have some hypothesis develop in your head that doesn't require the intervention of another life form. Rodil Acid says, also, kids these days wouldn't feel this music like someone who watched the X-Files. Anybody on TikTok wasn't alive back then. I don't know how the new generation is interpreting this music. I would see it as mockery. I don't know. Perhaps the new generation knows this music through the memes. Judicial Watch is filing a $30 million wrongful death lawsuit against the U.S. government on behalf of Ashley Babbitt's husband and estate. That's interesting, because I think there is a fundamental case there. I mean, here's a case where, I mean, if you look across the nations, the police interventions for which they get found guilty of having used too much force is ridiculously high. That's why police departments are on their toes. They are very scared of $1 million lawsuit that reduces their budget. In the case of Ashley Babbitt, it seems like absolutely reasonable to believe that there is a case of absolutely arbitrary and useless use of force. Now, the thing is, you're going to have a whole argument about is trying to pass through the crazy window. Is that justifying being shot? But you can have an argument in court, and you can have a jury being told, look, here's a woman who was a little crazy, but she was stuck in the window, you know? There's no evidence that she was a deadly danger to the agent. And now you're going to have the whole argument in front of the jury of, is it a deadly danger to be part of a mob that could potentially put you in danger? But if that's the standard, let me tell you, there's a bunch of people who are due to be rolled over by SUVs, if you know what I'm saying. Because if it is the case that simply giving a mob access to your being is basically an attack, it's basically a weapon of death. Every time these leftists go after cars, they could be rolled over, and it would meet that standard that, hey, they were directing a mob at me. I don't think that you have a good argument that there is kind of a castle doctrine protecting the capital legally. Now, I know John Drake says, good luck winning this in DC. Yes, good luck. You're going to have people from the machine in the jury, and yes, Yusferia, they're going to conclude it's okay when we do it. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this lawsuit has a good chance to win. I'm saying there is a fundamental true case there. And in a fair world, it should win. In a fair world, it should win. Because in our world, Derek Chauvin is currently in jail for being put in a situation that he probably didn't want at all. Derek Chauvin didn't want to have to deal with this situation. He stepped up, he dealt with someone who was resisting, and he didn't do proper PR through his knee placement. That is basically the extent of the thing that Derek Chauvin has committed. He hasn't done proper PR in how he was placing his knee. As far as I can tell, it is his only sin. And yet Derek Chauvin is in jail. So how, and here we're not even asking for anyone to be in jail. We're asking for someone's unjust death to be compensated fairly. It is the summum of injustice that this lawsuit is probably going to fail, and yet Derek Chauvin is in jail. Rudy Lacid says, why was the agent even close to the door? He should have been further back. Imagine if the mob had a flash grenade or something. He should not have stood so close to the door. Yeah, I guess that he was put into some kind of mood or order to defend the door at all cost as being the last stance of democracy. Like, you know how they are. You know how the Nancy Pelosi's are of this world. They must have whispered whispers of democracy in his ear. Our biggest institutions is in your hands. If only one person passes this door, democracy falls. And that's it. When these Democrats become ideological, they don't care about human life. Same thing with Israel. When they become ideological and they're all about, oh yeah, our survival is threatened, they do dramatic things. They do crazy stuff. Large bank loan volumes continue to shrink despite soaring deposit inflows. When you look at these at this data, I was looking at this graph. Yeah, reserve repos. At which point reserves get yanked, which means huge deposit flight. So those are the big banks and how money is being shaken around the big banks. And I mean, when you look at this curve here, it looks to point toward a depression. But I don't know. I don't know if we're headed toward a depression. If it continues down, you would think that this is indicative that there will be less money in the system, something like this. But it's also possible that this curve totally changes direction. With the Bitcoin ETF coming, the Fed is, what the Fed will do, I don't know. Maybe they will spam the system with more money printing. Anon says, JF, how bad do you think this upcoming recession will be? Will they have to drop rates to zero because of it? whether they do drop rates, I think they could, they might. I think that there's also the problem of the euro, because we had euro-USD parity for a while, but I think that the euro is headed toward a recovery back of its value. The US will have to think, what do we do with the US dollar? Is it something we will keep threatening with respect to the value of Bitcoin? Or do we want the US dollar to become this super rare thing? How big will the next recession be? It's very hard to say these things because we're due for a very, very big recession, like 1929. But at the same time, in the modern world, who knows? We can artificially decide that there is no recession forever. And John Drake says, it's an election year. The Fed will be cutting. That's very possible. And imagine Trump winning. they would continue cutting, probably. They would want to have their case that under Trump, the economy was not all so good. Because, of course, I see the Fed rates, the people who control Fed rates, they don't like favoring Donald Trump. And if they can, although they totally failed at doing this in 2016, but I think that there's very much this mentality on the Democrat side of never again. Never again participate to the growing economy under Trump. If Trump is there, you want to crash the economy as much as you can. So I believe that part of it is contingent on who gets elected this year. And as far as I don't expect, although we are due by history for a big recession, I don't expect the recessions to hit super hard because we have such fictitious economies right now. It's nothing like the economies that of the 1920s. It's a very different economy. It's an economy of fakery, of government agents and employees who get paid to do nothing. It's not even a real economy. So people are already going like zombies to their work that serves nothing. They get hired as part of big hiring practices of these huge corporations who have no way to even know if their base employees are generating anything. We are completely disconnected from reality, but because of this, it may be that recessions don't hit that hard because you have all this social welfare coming in. You have the government saying, we're going to give you healthcare, we're going to give you this, that. And so we have basically a social safety net that the Democrats have been subversively establishing in this nation such that we are in a communist nation now. And the market doesn't matter much. The market matters to the extent that these corrupt entities that are at play in our fake capitalist economy, they use these market variations to enrich themselves within the corrupt communist system that we live in. So you end up having people enriching themselves, the bottom being saved by some fictitious safety net, for which we don't really have the money to pay for. And everyone ends up going forward with baby making and producing more useless babies for the future. That's the picture of the current economy. And to have a recession and people actually suffering, you would have to have a very stubborn Fed and government that somehow decide, yes, we're going to have people suffer. Unfortunately, we're not there anymore. We don't have this kind of Darwinistic approach anymore to societal management. Landolt Guntram, and we'll pay the price at some point, but some point far in the future for all of this, because we're allowing everyone to survive, everyone even to thrive. We're giving way too much to way too many people. Shamrock Shake says, will the global fiat currencies be converted to a digital currency? They will be in time. That won't solve the question. They won't beat Bitcoin because of this. They will certainly be in time. Electronic is just better. It's just superior. Landolt Guntram says, there are pictures taken from a video where you can clearly see that the agent was mishandling his weapon by pointing it around with his finger on the trigger without being appropriately aware of his surroundings. Properly trained gunslingers do not behave like this. Look it up, guys. Yeah, I think that's the kind of argument you can have in court that will tell you, okay, the state of mind of this agent was not professionally defending, doing his job. The state of mind was one of panic and lack of training and that kind of stuff. And if you can present this to a jury, then it's all about the jury bias. And, you know, you can find a bunch of leftists who won't necessarily be bureaucrats, part of the apparatus of the state type of leftist. You might end up with a bunch of leftists in a jury in Washington, D.C. that are not so much part of the machine. And since we are in civil damage claims, it would only need a majority of this jury to say, yes, you know what, this police agent was not properly trained or something like this. Van Eck to donate 5% of BTC ETF profits to Bitcoin Core developers. The company last year made a similar pledge to Ethereum developers with respect to its Ether Futures ETF. Okay, I am all for the Bitcoin developers to be funded for their work. But 5%, it's a constant flow of money. It will be also one criteria by which the ETFs are bound to underperform Bitcoin holders. Because now you have the company of the ETF will be scraping away 0.5% up to 1% per year. That's just the service of holding the keys. And then you're going to have them donate 5% profits to Bitcoin Core developers, and then you're going to have all of the other things that are tied to Bitcoin ETFs that are not tied to, that are not disadvantages of personal Bitcoin holdings, like the fact that it's paper, the fact that it's seizable, the fact that the government will know that you have these shares. It's starting to be a lot of drain on those people who will throw their money into the Bitcoin ETF. We have here a pimp coming to another guy. Is that an old video? Something tells me I've seen this before. He's going to come with a knife and then he's going to get shot.
Get with it, cuz. Cuffin' a get with it on my mom. Ooh, on the set, cuz. Hit, cuz.
So this guy was advancing with a knife, even if the guy has a gun.
Cuffin' a get with it on my mom. Ooh, on the set, cuz. Hit, cuz. Hit that nigga on my mama, he hit that nigga.
Well, yeah. Why do you advance with a knife? Why do you come to a gunfight with a knife? Here we have a Peruvian witch who will demonstrate her power to stop. End of the line says, this is GTA 6 footage. It could be in GTA 6. I don't think it is. But you can think of a time at which GTA will not just be professional cameras. It will be they will be impersonating people of the street, filming those events. I mean, this is going to get exciting. I remember the Gears of War game when it came out. The spectacular thing with this game was that the camera was an agent in the game. You could see the guy carrying the camera. The camera was shaking like this. And in fact, when you were shooting people, there was blood coming onto the camera. One day, you're going to have, John Drake says GTA 7, maybe. GTA 7, GTA 8, there will be a time at which we emulate the human being filming those scenes and saying, oh, shit! And then you're going to have a full domination of the Shanika voice. Not only every aspect of documentary evidence in the US will be completed by Shanika voices, you're also going to get this in the virtual world. Like, there will be no way to escape it. There's always going to be, you're always going to be, here we go again! All day. All right, here we have a Peruvian witch who is demonstrating her power to stop an avalanche of rocks.
Hey, lady, don't go over there. Señora. Hey, get back here.
Señora, caramba.
What is she? What, she's a witch? What do you mean she's a witch? She's not a witch. Get over here. No, magic is not gonna... It's a landslide, you dumb bitch! Get over here! Oh, get out of the fucking way! Get out! Move! Move, you dumb bitch! Run! Run! Oh, fuck! Oh, fucking shit! Hey, lady, don't go over there!
John Drake says, does she end up under it? Well, it seems that this particular witch didn't have the power to stop landslides. That is sometimes you just have to test it. Jeffrey Epstein doc's third batch includes allegations sex trafficker trolled nightclubs for underage girls. Third set of Epstein files mentioned Jess Staley, Hillary Clinton. So Tony Figueroa, as a driver of Epstein, is telling the story that he was told by Epstein to drive around, go to the clubs, and see if he could find girls that look 16 or 17 years old. And if he brought them into his car and brought them to the Jeffrey Epstein mansion, they would get Epstein would pay him $200 per girl. So don't send your young children, don't send your minor children to these bars. You think, oh, they're just going to dance and party. They're going to be subjected to trafficking. So be careful out there. It's not a good place to be. These clubs, nothing good can happen there. Literally nothing good. So yeah, very careful. There will be a new Jeff Epstein at some point. There will be someone else paying to get these girls to his mansion. This is an elected official. She says she is suffering from PTSD, so she cannot get arrested for going 13 miles per hour above the limit of 30. She was rolling at 43.
Ma'am, you have to calm down.
I have PTSD! I'm going to protest this in court, and you're telling me that you singled me out. That's what you're telling me, right? And that everyone was going at the same pace, right? I drive on that road at 30 miles an hour all the time.
Are you going to listen to me, or are you...
It's not because there were other people driving quick that you qualify for not getting a ticket. You cannot just hide your crime within the crimes of others. If you get caught for a crime, you violated the law, you get the punishment.
I will listen to you, and you're not going to let me go, even though we can't be legislator. And I always do everything right, and I follow the law, and I was... at the same pace as every other car.
Ma'am, you're going to let me explain this to you here?
Yes, but I am also going to record our conversation.
Okay, it's being recorded. We have video right here, and the whole conversation is being recorded here.
This person is an elected official, apparently. So she's the one deciding the laws that apply to you.
Okay, you're more than welcome to record it, okay? All right. Like I said, the reason why I pulled you over was because you were going 43 and a 30, which was 13 over, okay?
I was going at the same pace as every car. I couldn't go slower. They honk. They honk at you.
They honk at you, so you feel pressured by the honk. You just have to take pleasure in slowing down traffic. Let them pass you if they want to go faster than you. But I don't let a honk change my driving speed. I always have my driving speed set in my head, and I decide on it, and I always follow it, no matter the honk.
That was your words, okay? I had you 43 and a 30, which was 13 over. You did admit to me that you were on your phone talking to your son.
He was on speakerphone.
Okay, that's fine. I didn't write you a ticket.
I did not admit that I was on the phone with my son. I was on speakerphone.
Okay, if you let me talk, okay, and then I'll give you a chance to talk, okay?
Tell me what you're doing here with the ticket, because I am late for a job meeting and this is my career.
Okay, can you let me explain?
You're probably friends with all those guys who
if you're late for a job meeting, making this whole crisis isn't helping. You want to get quick with the police, he's going to give you a ticket, you can contest it in court, and then you can drive back to your job meeting. Saturn Shine says she has a career as what? Apparently as an elected official of some sort.
This is about my son. Hello?
I just would like to explain the ticket to you, and then you'll be more. I'll be more than happy to answer any of your questions.
You told me that you pulled me over because even though everyone was going at the same speed, you had to single somebody out.
No, I did not. Those were not my words.
That's what you said before the
report. Ma'am, everything has been tape recorded. I said I can't pull everyone over, and that's...
You can't pull everyone over.
Okay, so he can't. That's true. So he has to choose someone and say, I'm certain of the speed of this car for sure. I'm going to arrest her at least.
You can just pull one over that's going at the
correct.
Same pace as
that's,
everyone else.
That's how the police do it. That's safe. We only pull
so
one car over at a time.
You just choose one particular person.
One?
On what basis do you think you were discriminated against? He doesn't like your Prius. He doesn't like the color of your car.
Particular car that's going over the speed limit. That's how we pull them over.
They were all going over the speed limit. Okay. I was trying to keep with traffic.
All right. Can I explain this to you, please?
Guys, I don't consider... I don't feel safe anymore.
83, I copy.
I don't feel safe here.
Oh, my God. When they start saying, I don't feel safe. The absolute signature of evil. I've never heard someone rational, fair, and good, and truthful say, I don't feel safe. This is a fear tact. It's terrorism. It's emotional terrorism to start saying, I don't feel safe. Because you are creating a situation where, okay, you are talking as if I had done something not to make you feel safe, but you're framing it as a feeling of yours. So I can't control your feelings. I can't stop you from feeling things. You're rooting the problem inside of you so that it's not accessible for me to change. What can this police do to make her feel more safe? Well, the only thing he could do was to not give her the ticket, which would basically play against his function in society. If someone says, I don't feel safe, it's a big warning. Yes, Adair says, they're saying, I will frame you. Absolutely. When I saw one of my wives started saying these things, I don't feel safe, I was like, okay. So we're talking about a false allegation route. She's about to make some false allegation against me. How do I defend against this? Trump accuses Liz Cheney of destroying January 6th evidence. Former President Donald Trump accused Liz Cheney of destroying evidence connected to the U.S. Capitol breach on January 6th, adding that the move impacted the work of his legal team. I'm pretty tired of these January 6th things. I hope we can elect Trump and get done with it, and we can start moving on, because it's not super interesting what happened on January 6th. The Democrats have gone totally overboard on it. It's a minor event of history. Here we have a woman who has the impression that she's not being respected by the Palestinian doctor here. Because she's a woman, of course.
You say you don't approve of...
And do you think that Israel is a democratic country?
I know that Israel is a democracy. They have elections.
Okay, so here, this guy has a challenge on, is Israel a democratic country? There could be arguments for, arguments against. You can argue they have a democracy in appearance. You can... No matter. I mean, it's a legitimate possible argument.
No. This man is now has three.
So he wants to make his argument, and she starts raising the eyes. She starts face palming. Look, you've invited this guest. The least you could do is at least hear his argument.
Four courts against him because
yes.
of four cases
I know.
Of corruption. This man knows okay. if the war
we
stops,
we
he will
haven't got
go
time to
jail.
Do the entire history
and
of Benjamin Netanyahu, who is not
is
a
not
popular
history.
Figure in Israel.
I'm not
here to defend Benjamin Netanyahu. Right.
Well, I've seen clips of you, lady, before. You've been pretty much on the defense of Israel for a couple of months. I mean, I've seen clips of this girl again and again. So that's what you do. So here he is challenging some of your views about Benjamin Netanyahu, challenging his legitimacy. Can we hear him?
Safa, is it possible to...
Whenever I speak...
Right.
Whenever I speak about Palestinian rights or Palestinian situation, you claim it is history. I'm talking about what's happening today.
Okay, so she was dismissive in the interview because he was talking about the Palestinian situation, and he was talking about the current violations of rights of Palestinians, and she's framing it as, well, this is just Benjamin Netanyahu history. Well, it's pretty recent history, so it's valid.
Hey, no, I know, and
this
I'm
is
trying...
not history.
Can we just... You you talked about how you don't want Israel, you're saying re-Israel, that October the 7th happened, you're placing that in historical context. I understand that. Please don't say that again. We don't have time for it. You've made that point five times already.
I don't know what you have time for.
Oh, my God,
for the love of God,
let me finish a sentence, man. I don't. Maybe you're not used to women talking. I don't know.
Oh, my God, and here we have it. Maybe it's because I'm a woman. You cannot... This guy tried to place a few words up to now in this interview. He didn't go ad hominem against her. He was criticizing something about Benjamin Netanyahu and then criticizing the interviewer, saying, hey, you're talking about the time constraints, but you're not even letting me finish a single sentence. So two legitimate counters in a debate or in an interview. But there she raises the, oh, it's because I'm a woman.
No, but I'd like to finish a sentence, sir. Anyway. So,
no, you are mis-
and you can see that her brain is not even prepared to finish the sentence because she does a phenomenon that you'll notice sometimes in these cases. She beats a dead horse. I would like to place a sentence, okay? Please, sir. Anyways, if you were truly tight on time and you're trying to place a very important sentence, like if you look back at my interviews back in the days, when I was injecting myself into blood sports, I didn't take the time to do four beats on a dead horse. If you have the voice, if you have the audio, it's time to inject your ID right there. It's like you cut and boom, you inject it. No, she's like, oh, sir, okay, sir. Anyways, if you have time to do that kind of display, we're not in the world of time constraints. We are in the world of histrionics, of displays, of... oh my God, I'm being victimized because I'm a woman. And this guy gets it and he's calm. This guy is a good intellectual. He can handle this level of stress and he will remain honorable throughout this lie that she's being discriminated because of her womanhood.
Misleading the public now.
Really?
By claiming.
Right.
And so he injects his point right away. See, he doesn't lose time in bravado in this place. He says, you're misleading the public. This is a lie. He knows that he cannot place many words, so he just injects it. That's perfectly done.
I've got 20 seconds left. I'm not even going to bother trying to answer.
If you have 20 seconds left, it's ridiculous to spend 3 seconds of it saying you have 20 seconds left. You don't have 20 seconds left if you've been wasting that much time.
You don't think Israel's reaction is acceptable. What would have been an acceptable reaction to you? You've got 10 seconds left.
To end occupation and allow peace to prevail for both people.
That's
a perfect response. You just had to ask a clear question and your guest is fully skilled to properly answer it. And so now she's got nothing because, okay, now we got the answer. The proper response would be to end the occupation. And all she can add to it is feminine snarkiness. Listen to the... he doesn't even get a full response without her snort noise. Look at this.
To end occupation and allow peace to...
you snort. You snort... you are on a time constraint, you claim. You claim we are short on time, we have to compress what this guest has to say in 10 seconds. You just did your histrionics display that, okay, I'm leaving you this 10 seconds, but you can't even leave this 10 seconds without a snort. that's how disrespectful you are.
To prevail for both people.
That's their react. Brilliant.
That's the answer. Brilliant. Yeah, you could have gotten this 2 minutes ago. You don't know how to handle interviews, and that's why you find yourself in this situation. And most likely what put her in this mood is she had a frustration that you have an opposing talking point here. Of course, in her vision of the world, saying Israeli occupation is, oh my God, that's Iranian propaganda. It's Russian propaganda. But it's like, if you don't want to hear these things, don't invite a true Palestinian opponent. Just invite circle jerks of Jews that will all cuddle you in your belief that there's no such thing as occupation going on in Israel. A new guy says, disrespect masking as an interview. Yes. Yeah, so she has driven that interview toward only one possible outcome, a conflictual one. And you can see that she generates all of it. There's no point at which this guy becomes unreasonable. He's just trying to place his words up to the last 10 seconds. That's all he does. And that is perfect. He comes out looking very professional from this interview, and she comes out looking terrible. Republican Ohio Governor Mike DeWine bans gender transition surgery for minors. Well, that's a start. My God, we have to fight for so little. So we're not going to chop their dicks while they are minors and unable to consent. Good direction. People are criticizing the Associated Press. The Associated Press, let me tell you, is right there in the schism of the left. They are sometimes too woke, or they are weirdly woke. They are weirdly woke in a way that triggers a lot of people. They published a bizarre article basically in support of the school shooting. They framed it as he got tired of the bullying. Now, to realize how much of a support of a violent action this is, suppose that you were to justify any terrorist action. I mean, Ilhan Omar got booed and hated for saying some people did some things concerning 9/11. So she wasn't moral enough in her dismissal of 9/11. Here in this case, this is more than this, because Ilhan Omar's statement was a fundamentally neutral one. Some people did some things. But AP says he got tired of the bullying. In other words, framing the moral justifications for a school shooting to be justified. Like, oh, of course, we're not for killing people, but he had feelings, and these feelings had a justification for them. Sisters Yesenia Roder and Camilla Hale, both 17, said alongside their mother, Arita, that the 17-year-old classmate who police identified as the shooter had been bullied relentlessly throughout elementary school. That accelerated recently when his young sister started picking on two. There's a part of the article that doesn't show. Officials at the school intervened, and they said that was the last straw for the shooter. He was hurting. He got tired. He got tired of being bullied. He got tired of the harassment. Was it a smart idea to shoot up the school? No, God, no. So those are the statements from his family and the Associated Press, basically titling in line with this moral justification. But of course, the mentality of the left is very much that there's the trans genocide, right? So trans people are dying because of the hate of society. Now, they will never have to demonstrate that it's society inducing these trans suicide. They will just assume. They will assume that it must be the lack of acceptance in society. But we've made the experiment for more than a decade now. And acceptance doesn't solve the mental problems associated with gender dysphoria. Acceptance drives them in a direction. It gives them a psychological boost, a reward. They feel they have some attention. They gain some social approval for a while. But there's no evidence that the whole process of acceptance leads to reduced suicide. And suicide is always very close to mass shooting, because ultimately, how do you get a mass shooter? The first ingredient is you need someone who's suicidal. You need someone who's suicidal and who's also violent and who's also angry. That's how you get a school shooter. There's no evidence that more acceptance of trans behaviors reduces violence or reduces suicidal imagination, ideation. Turkic Warlord says, the day when self-mutilation becomes clear, it has to be a horrible feeling. Yes, there must be lots of suffering in the path of these young people who get convinced to join the cult. Nick says, Jeff, what would you do if your 16-year-old son said he was gay? I'm not going to answer your question in the way it is framed. Because it is asking for too much of something, something that frames the question as an individual response of me. But in general, I will tell you my philosophy. My philosophy is I am not bound to continue interacting with children who are in adult life and who decide away from the reproductive lifestyle. They have the freedom to choose, but I have the freedom to choose my relationships. And as a libertarian, this is how I approach this problem. And I don't maintain relationships in my life that I don't have to by libertarian standards, and that don't affect in the world my plan for an expansion of families and heterosexuality. And so do what you will with that answer. That's as much as I will tell you. Florida Surgeon General warns against using mRNA COVID vaccines over possible cancer risks. We have our based Surgeon General in Florida, our based black doctor. He keeps talking against the vaccine. It's kind of fun, but it's limited in terms of convincing the leftists. But it does matter that there's this guy with power in Florida, at least, who has this totally different take on the vaccine. Master Slave says, if you had a girlfriend who would give you 5 children but had 2 black sons, would you take her as wife? That is the question of the market, ultimately. What can you get other than this girl on the market? Now, what do you get from this girl? You get 3 children, but these three children will be exposed to genetic diversity of a kind that you wouldn't have in a united family. So that's some value. You can discount it. You can say, oh, well, so that's worth 2 children for me. And then the question is you, as a man, if you go out there and start dating, how much chance do you have of getting 2 children value from another random woman that you pick up? And you have to do that computation, and you have to fuck the single mother of 2 black children if it's the best solution for you. We'll be right back.
Thank you.